Welcome to the Right Division Network podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word rightly divided. We'll be continuing today going through the book of 1 Thessalonians. We are here in chapter number 3. And we've been looking at verse number 13, which says, "To the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints." And we've been looking at this issue of this establishing of the heart of the believer as the Apostle Paul has been writing to these saints at Thessalonica, giving them the doctrine that they need in order to be functioning properly, and looking at this goal of what's to happen of this establishing that's to occur. We've been talking about how this establishment ties in with the will of God, when God identifies his will that it would be that all men are to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. And how this coming unto the knowledge of the truth is what ties in with this issue of establishing your hearts. Now, as we've been looking at this and talking about how this process occurs, we're going to see how God works in the individual to actually have this happen. And we're going to turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. And we're going to be looking at a passage that's going to identify exactly how it is that God is going to work in the believer to have this happen. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, we're going to start here at verse number 6, which says, "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." Now we're going to continue on in this passage for a moment, but we see how Paul lays out the issue of that this wisdom that he's speaking here, that this is the wisdom of God. So this is the information that God is giving to mankind in order for man to be functioning in this proper manner, and how there's a contrast between what is God's wisdom and the things that he's going to put on the opposite side of that, which is the wisdom of man and the wisdom of the princes of this world. That's Satan and the angelic realm that had followed him in the rebellion against God. The individuals that over in 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, that you see how there's that whole issue of the angelic realm that had followed him, appearing as ministers of righteousness, appearing as angels of light, appearing as if they have the truth, and how they pull people away from what the truth of God's word rightly divided actually says, and how that pulling away really traps people, puts them in a snare to where individuals have to be able to be recovered from that snare. And that whole trap, that whole problem, that can happen to anybody. You know, this is not just a thing where somebody goes, well, you know, I study enough, so it's not going to happen to me. It can happen to any individual that is studying God's word, that they could fall into that trap of being pulled away from what God would actually have to occur. Because Satan knows the word of God. In fact, that's why it identifies the fact that if they had known what the cross was going to accomplish, that instead of encouraging the cross to occur, that they would have prevented the things of the cross from actually happening. That's why it says that they would not have crucified the Lord of glory, because they did not have an understanding of what information that was given to the Apostle Paul, because you cannot find any of Paul's doctrine written to the members of the body of Christ. You cannot find that doctrine in anything other than the books of Romans through Philemon. You can't go back into, for example, the book of Isaiah and find information related to the dispensation of the grace of God. It was hidden until it was revealed to Paul. Now, after Paul has laid this piece of the information out, now he's going to actually start talking about how it is that the word works in an individual. Let's pick up back here at verse number 9. It says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Now, there's a lot of information found in these verses. And you see how there's the whole issue that comes up of how an individual actually gains the understanding of what the Word of God actually says. And an individual can only gain that information by the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God gets into a person after they put their trust in the gospel message for today. In the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. And when someone puts their trust in that message, and only that for their salvation, they are saved. The Spirit is in them. They're sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise to guarantee that they are a member of the body of Christ, and there's nothing that can be done to take that away. And the Spirit is in them, so that way they can be able to start to receive the information of what God's Word actually says. Anybody that's not saved, that sister just starts trying to read the Word of God, is going to have a problem that comes up for them. And the, you know, so many people try to read the Word of God just as if they would read, you know, any other book. And so they'll just pick up the Bible, they'll start right at Genesis chapter number 1, and they'll just start reading through. And typically what happens is they get a few chapters in, they get to start getting to the genealogies that are laid out in Genesis, and they start struggling to pronounce all the names that are written there. And because the Spirit's not in them, they're not able to gain any truth from what's being said. They just put the Bible down because it's not gaining anything for them. Or they end up using the Bible as, you know, just some sort of a, you know, the equivalent of a fortune cookie of where, you know, I'll just find the verse that says exactly what I want. I'll pull that out. That will help me out for whatever it is that I'm going through. Not using that verse in its context. Just wanting to say, okay, it says the exact words that I want, so that's good enough for me. Or the thing that happens where, you know, I just rant, you know, I have a problem, I randomly open my Bible, I just point randomly to a page, whatever verse that I hit, that's the one that's speaking to me, you know, no matter what it is that it says, you know, and again, thinking that that's good enough. The whole issue is that a person has to have that growth, has to have the establishing of the heart to occur in order for someone to be doing what God wants, to be having this thing of where, you know, to be spiritual, to have, you know, because the mind of Christ, the Word of God, is what we have. And God instructs us on what we are supposed to do when he says, to study this, show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So, the unfortunate thing for some individuals is that there's going to be shame for members of the body of Christ because they have not studied in that manner to where they can be identified as being approved unto God. Now, that shame that is identified here, the shame is going to occur when an individual is standing at the judgment seat of Christ, and there the loss of rewards occurs. That's the only time that you could have anything identified as being shame that would occur. Because the reality of what's supposed to happen for an individual. So let's turn over to Galatians chapter number 2. To where we're going to have Paul identify here how it is that somebody is supposed to be living their life here. And in Galatians chapter number 2, we're going to read here verse number 20, which says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So the life that we're living, it's not us. It's the Lord Jesus Christ living in us and through us. That's the issue. And the Lord Jesus Christ lives in us and through us as the Word of God is applied in our life. So as we take in the Word of God, take in that doctrine, so that way we know exactly what Paul says for us today. And it can only be through the doctrine that somebody would have any understanding of what it is that we are supposed to do. That's why you see how in Paul's epistles that you have the layout of where there's doctrine laid out, and then eventually he'll start talking about the practical things of how a person's to live their life, but he only does that after he has laid out all this doctrinal information, because if a person takes that doctrine in, then they're going to live their life in that manner that the Apostle Paul has been laying out in the scriptures. They'll have that establishment that we've been looking at. Let's, as long as we're here in the book of Galatians, let's turn a couple chapters over. We're going to turn to chapter number 5. And we're going to see how this discussion occurs here in this chapter related to the life that we are supposed to live. And we're going to start here at verse number 16 of Galatians chapter number 5, where it says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." Now, what you see in this, and we've talked about this, about how when it says, "Walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." You know, our identity is in the Spirit. He doesn't say, "Walk in the Spirit and ye shall not walk in the flesh," because for a member of the body of Christ, we cannot be identified in the flesh. You know, Paul talks about how in the flesh dwelleth no good thing. He talks about how there's only condemnation that could occur when somebody is seen as being in the flesh. In God's eyes, the flesh is already dead. It's been circumcised away. It's been cut off from who we are. So that way, there is no way that it can ever be identified as who we are. Now, that doesn't mean that it still can't have an influence on us. And that's what Paul's identifying here. Talk about how the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, the contrary to one to the other. So individuals can do, you know, and even though all things are lawful for me, the whole issue is not all things are expedient. Because not everything that could possibly be done could really bring glory to God, could be in the way that we are supposed to be functioning, to the way that it would be according to the establishment that is supposed to occur for a member of the body of Christ. That's why we need to take in the doctrinal information, so that way we can have this establishing occur, so we can live the life that we are supposed to have. But also part of that establishing is the fact that we will be able to identify what is, you know, the things that are according to what God would, you know, the doctrine that's laid out, and identify the things that go contrary to the doctrine. So that way we would be able to do what we see. And let's go over to Ephesians chapter number 4. And we're going to read a couple verses here that identify what is supposed to happen as part of this establishing that occurs. And we're going to read verses 14, 15, and 16 of Ephesians chapter number 4. And it says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now, what we see here in this is that this whole idea when Paul starts talking about, you know, the individual not being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. If somebody is established in the truth, what's going to happen is when they come across error or come across somebody teaching doctrine that goes contrary to what's laid out, if somebody has studied, if they've done what God would have them to do, they would very clearly identify and say that what is being taught is wrong. Because the reality is going to be that at some point in time, everybody who teaches the Word of God is going to teach something that really isn't going to line up, because nobody has a complete, perfect understanding of the Word of God. And, you know, most people aren't going to admit that. You know, they're going to just say, I'm teaching truth and thing. But the reality is going to be, and if they were really honest, they would even see it in their own life as they're growing with it. And part of that growth is going to be, I come to a better understanding of something. And that better understanding, you know, would sometimes occur that, okay, you know what? Maybe I have, you know, I'm looking at this a different way. Now, not every time that somebody's looking at it a different way is it that they're correct in looking at it in that different way. But every individual, what they have to do, so even when you hear somebody teaching the Word of God, the responsibility that you have as the individual is to study it out for yourself and come to the conclusion based on what you see in the scripture of, does this truly line up and is this accurate related to what the Word of God actually says? And if you're convinced of that, then great. And if you see the thing of that it doesn't line up, then you don't follow in that teaching that you see doesn't line up. You follow what you see from what the scripture says, and that's how you're going to be established, because each individual is going to have to account for themselves on what they say. And it's not going to be, well, I thought this because so-and-so said it. That's not, you know, going to, you know, that's going to be part of that shame of, well, I followed a person rather than following what the Word of God says. And if I'm following what the Word of God says, then I'm going to have that establishing actually occur and be doing what God actually wants to have happen. Now, next week, we're going to look at the issue of being seen as being unblameable and what God really means by that. Now, as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have some charts to help you in your study of God's Word. We have some audio files of past messages. We have information on how to join our Sunday service live as it's broadcast on Facebook. Our Wednesday night Bible study through a conference call option as well. And if you ever have any questions or comments on any of our studies, any of our broadcasts, anything on our website, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. And until next time, keep fighting that good fight of faith, preaching this message to this lost and dying world.